The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 36 to 46. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain. And the earth produced crops. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? The Holy Gospel according to the book of John, chapter 4, from verses 5 to 26. Praise and glory to God. Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become to them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man that you are now with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place that we must worship in is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. This is the gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all here today. I have the privilege of bringing us the word today and looking together at some of the things that I think can be found in there. Let's start with prayer, shall we? Lord God, I pray that you would winnow my words, that you would blow away the things that are not of you, and that you would speak to each of us today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of a series on Elijah. And this week we're having a look at how God answered Elijah's prayer with water. Last week, if you were here, you may remember that Fraser was talking about God answering Elijah's prayer with fire. And Fraser spoke about how God had revealed the powerlessness of idols. That Baal was well and truly defeated. He could send no rain, and he could send no fire. And the whole group of the prophets of Baal, every one of them, was wiped out. Fraser spoke about sacrifice, about how they sacrificed the most precious commodity they had, which was water at the time, as well as the bullock on the altar. And that God's fire came, and Fraser encouraged us all to press in and get more of God's fire then and every day. So now we're having a look at how God answered with water. Now Elijah had declared, I think somewhat boldly, 3.5 years previously, that there would be no water in the land until he said so. No rain, no dew. And here we are 3.5 years later, still having had no rain or dew. Now, rain is essential for all life, as we know. It's essential to keep us hydrated. It's essential to grow crops. It's essential for raising livestock. We can't live without it. And 3.5 years without water would even impact us here in New Zealand, where we're lush and green and seem to have plenty. And we take it for granted it's going to rain again today or tomorrow. But if we had 3.5 years with no water, I think we would really feel it. We would really notice it. Rain is a sign of God's blessing and refreshment in the Bible. It's a sign of many things, but
This is one of the particular aspects I want us to look at this morning. So let's have a look at a few verses. In Psalm 68, it says, "You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance." There's refreshment in the rain that God sends. And in Joel chapter 2, "Be glad, people of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains." It's a sign of God's blessing, his goodness, his faithfulness. And it shows us how good God is. In Acts chapter 14, Paul was speaking of the living God to the people at Lystra, and he says this, "He has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Rain comes from God as his blessing. And in both the Old and the New Testaments, water is used to denote salvation and eternal life, the ultimate blessing, if you like. In Isaiah chapter 12, it says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And then in the passage we had today in John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, he speaks of his salvation as living water. And he says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So we have physical water as a physical blessing, but we can also think about the spiritual blessing of God's pouring out of himself and his spirit on us with salvation. Now, in ancient Israel, we're looking at a time where they're under one of the most wicked kings, King Ahab. And no surprise that with an absence of worship of God and a turning to worthless idols, there was no water. In fact, there was a time of drought. This was like a physical manifestation of what was happening in the spiritual realms, really. People were desperate. The widow of Zarephath was prepared to make her last meal and then to go and lay down with her son and die, and was only rescued by God's miracle. And there would have been other people who would have had the same desperation and wouldn't have been rescued. People were dying, I'm sure, from this drought. And without God today, we're in a spiritual drought too, and people are dying for lack of Christ. God's salvation and his blessing poured out is what we seek. We seek it for us, we seek it for others. So, Elijah is at a stage where the worship of Baal is wiped out. We can all let up a great big cheer and say, "Well, hey, that's what we were looking for." And yet, we still find that we're in a land that is parched. There's still been no rain, 3.5 years of no rain. And Elijah has established that only God is God and only God can send rain. So will he? Israel's future, if you like, hangs in the balance. Now let's take a look at what Elijah knew at this stage. He would have been aware of the general word of God concerning rain and prayer and blessing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we read this, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God does want obedience. He does want us to turn from our wicked ways. But even more so, I think, he wants to talk to us in the process. He wants us to pray to him. Prayer is vital in the whole process of being reconciled to God, for God to open the heavens of his blessing. When we come to God for salvation, we come in prayer to him. Elijah would have known that God calls us to pray. And as well as God's general word here, Elijah has got God's very specific promise. God says to Elijah, "Present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain." It's black and white, really, isn't it? You do this, and I'll do that. So what does Elijah do now that he's presented himself to Ahab? The prophets of Baal are wiped out. Now what? If he knew God was going to send rain, why doesn't he just sit back and relax and let God do what he's supposed to be doing as his part of this bargain that he has heard? And I think sometimes we do that, don't we? We stand on God's promises. Quite rightly, God's promises are there to be relied upon. They are fulfilled. They are good. We can stand on them. But we pray them. God wants us to stand on them in partnership with him, to talk to him about them, to seek his fulfillment. And Elijah hadn't forgotten that God is sovereign. He hasn't taken God for granted. And also, I think he prayed exactly because he knew God's plan. It's often when we hear from God, that is the prompt to pray. It's not a reassurance that we don't need to do anything. It's God saying, this is what I want to do, now pray. And this was natural for Elijah. He'd had got a long-standing relationship with God, built on time spent with him, time talking with him. So he recognized the voice of God. He had listened to and obeyed God again and again. Elijah had declared that the rain would stop in answer to God's prompting, and it stopped. Elijah went to the brook because God sent him, and he was fed by ravens. He went to Zarephath because God sent him and was fed by the poor and the starving widow. He set up the showdown with the prophets of Baal because God sent him. All of these incidents were at God's command. And now he's heard the voice of God again, very specifically. And he calls on him for rain. It's not an isolated incident of shooting up a quick prayer, but it's a prayer that comes as part of a lifestyle of listening, talking, and obeying. A lifestyle of communication with God. And when we enter into that personal relationship ourselves with God, we come in prayer and our relationship begins. And as our relationship grows, we pray to God. And as we pray, our relationship grows. And as our relationship grows, we pray some more. And it goes on and on. It's a virtuous circle. It's part of our relationship with God. It's an essential for us as followers of Christ. It's not an add-on. It's not something you do when we've got a particular need. We can, but that is in a part of the context of a life with God. So how did Elijah pray? Well, we're very lucky to have a blow-by-blow description of how Elijah prayed for it to rain. The first time, we've just got an indication that probably he was praying, and later on in James, we're told that he did pray for it to stop raining. But this time, we've got a very clear explanation of how he prayed. So let's take a look at that. Elijah prayed prophetically. He heard the sound of rain when there wasn't any physical rain going on. So that was God telling him, by the Holy Spirit, rain is on the way. He could hear it. And this is prophetic. And he believed what he heard. He believed what he had an inkling of. And I think that came again because he'd had a lifestyle of listening to God and knowing God's voice. This is not just my imagination. He knew that that was God saying, rain is on the way. So he could pray with an expectant heart. And when we pray prophetically, when we start by listening and asking God how to pray, we can pray with an expectant heart because we know what it is God wants to do and he's going to move in answer. So let's always listen before we start praying, and let's pray what we hear. Elijah also prayed humbly. He had every reason, I think, to grow a little bit pleased with himself. If you just had a showdown with the prophets of Baal and covered your sacrifice with water and dug a trench around it and filled it with water and the whole lot was wiped up by fire, that you'd prayed for and came down. You know, you'd be thinking, wah-ha-ha, I'm something pretty different and special here. But Elijah didn't do that. He got on his knees. He put his head between his knees. That's about as low to the ground as you can get. And he prayed. He prayed really humbly. Submitted to God in every way. His posture expressing his heart. And I think when we pray, we have to remember to be humble before God. That these prayers that we pray are praying to a sovereign Lord. He loves us. He's with us. He's gentle and he's kind, but he's also sovereign and holy and other. And we've got to remain in an attitude of humility before him. And also, interestingly, and I think actually quite pointedly, he would have been really quite uncomfortable. Can you imagine? I mean, even getting down there in the first place and putting your head between your knees is quite a challenge. And even if physically you can't do that, if you've put yourself as low as physically you can go and stayed there in prayer, you're going to really feel it. But his comfort was not his priority. His prayer was his priority. And I wonder when we pray if we're prepared to be a little bit uncomfortable. Are we prepared for the inconvenience of the time God calls us to spend in prayer? Are we prepared for the physical effort that's required? So Elijah prayed prophetically and humbly. He also prayed persistently. He prayed 7 times, not once or twice. When he prayed for the fire, it came straight away. It was really quite a wonderful and an instant answer to prayer. And this time, he had the prophetic word, no sign of prayer. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He kept sending his servants to look and look and look. And I wonder sometimes whether we are that persistent in our prayers and whether we're that patient. Psalm chapter 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard my cry. Sorry, I haven't got that one typed up. And I wonder whether there might be things that we're praying for at the moment and we haven't seen the answer we're looking for. And we've become discouraged and we've just sort of thought, well, you know, maybe God's not going to do anything. Maybe he doesn't really answer prayer. Maybe I'm really praying the wrong thing. We find all sorts of reasons to stop praying. We've become discouraged. But I would say, don't stop. If you've got something that's on your heart that is a godly thing, then keep going. Keep pushing in. I'm praying for my son. It's his birthday today. I'm praying for him because he's a prodigal. And I long for him to come back. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to do that. I can't not pray. And I'm not going to stop until he does come back. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. I know that's the truth. It says so in God's word, and I can stand on that, that's a promise, and I can pray and pray and pray and never give up. Why would I stop praying that? It's what my heart desires more than anything. So don't give up whatever you're praying for. He prayed successfully, which I think is rather encouraging for us. When we pray, we hope for God's yes. And perhaps we haven't seen the fulfillment that we've been looking for. But Elijah was praying out of a relationship with God. And as long as we're praying out of a relationship with God, we can pray definitely because we're listening for prophetic insight and we're checking with God all the time. We're not just barraging God with our prayers and not having anything back. It's an interchange. It's a circular thing, if you like, listening, praying, listening, praying. So we can be definite. We can pray the things that God is calling us to pray. Sorry, we're on successfully now, aren't we? So we listen to God for his answer, and we trust him, and we submit to him, and we persist, and we're expectant, and then we trust him again, and we keep going round and round until we see that success that we're looking for, or until God says stop. But I wouldn't stop until you think God has said stop. Let's keep looking for signs of success, signs of God's yes. The answer to Elijah's prayer came as a very small beginning. That is the smallest cloud I could find on the internet. That is, believe it or not, a cloud. And it was a cloud the size of a man's hand over the sea. Now, the top of Mount Carmel is roughly 7 kilometres from the sea. So this servant had seen a tiny cloud 7 kilometres away, at least, sitting over the sea. But Elijah said, oh, that's it. God's answering. He knew from that tiny beginning that the answer was coming. And then, of course, God sent a great rain, a deluge, a downpour. It was plenty of blessing. The Hebrew word for great here says that it's just great in any sense, but it can also be used for the word insolent. And I think that's a really amazing thought, that this was an insolent amount of rain. It was God really going, yeah, take that. No politeness in this rain, just a massive amount of rain. I think that's a wonderful picture of God's wonderful abundance. He's not in anyone's debt. They'd poured out their water on the sacrifice. They'd given of what they had. And God had replenished multiple times, many times, what they'd poured out. So I think there's no need to fear when we pour out to God our most precious things. And I'm not just talking about money, which is often very precious to us, but our time, our efforts, our family, our job, whatever it is that God is calling us to pour out, because he's no one's debtor. So Elijah prayed, and God answered with water. And it was the end of the drought. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Because the vital rain is now poured out, so the blessings come, the food and the drink, and from those things, the work and the pay, people who were harvesting, everyone would have been blessed by the coming of the rain, just as everyone had found the drought unendurable. God restored his blessing on the whole land. And God pours out his blessing today on everyone who wants it. The water of his salvation, new life. And he promises to send his salvation on whoever comes to him for it. I think that's really encouraging, because one of our greatest desires is that people come to Christ and receive his salvation. And also that we, as God's people, are walking out our salvation in that continuing blessing and relationship with God. So if we want God's blessing, his salvation, his cleansing, his abundant life, we need to pray just like Elijah did. So let's pray now. Lord Jesus, move us to pray, to be a people that prays. Stir our hearts and give us no rest until we fall on our knees before you. You said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we want that for our own lives, for our families, our communities, the church, this nation. Call us to prayer that we might see what a downpour of blessing you will send. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.